the monarchy did not have the type of institutions of Egypt or Mesopotamia. It was only slowly that the Hittite kings evolved the kind of bureaucracy, the legal institutions, a professional army, that is the pillars of a monarchy, an authoritarian monarchy, where the king to some extent was protected. He had all these institutions to back him up. Now, that gives you continuity. It also, at the same time, traps your monarch a bit, who's subject to these institutions at the same time. In any event, the murder of Mercilus I, which is well known, it occurred somewhere around 1590 BC, because his action of sacking Babylon meant everyone recorded it, so many sources record the fall of Babylon. In any case, it led to the fragmentation of the Hittite Empire. And that would be a process repeated at the end of the empire in the 12th century BC. That is, Arzawa broke away. The barbarians roamed at large on the northern frontier. The cities in southeastern Asia Minor in Syria became independent again. And really, for the next two centuries, the political history of the Hittites is one of weakness. The period is extremely important because of cultural influences, which I'll talk about in the next lecture. But politically, the Hittites were pretty much out of it. Meanwhile, there were some important changes. While the Hittites were in their period of political weakness, Egypt emerged as the great power of the Near East. In 1540 BC, there was a new monarchy that established itself in the Nile Valley. That is the family of Dynasty 18, the kings who gave us Thutmose III, the great warrior king of the New Kingdom from 1479 to 1426 BC. His long reign led to the conquest of the Levant, that is the cities of Syria and what the Romans would call Palestine, which is today Jordan and Israel. These areas were all brought under Egyptian control, and the Egyptians conquered that important area that the Hittite kings had coveted. Furthermore, important monarchies emerged in Mesopotamia, foreign monarchies. A mysterious people known as the Mitanni ruled in northern Mesopotamia, who spoke a language related eventually to later Sanskrit. The origins of these people was quite vexed. And in the southern part of Mesopotamia at Babylon, another mysterious people, the Kassites, ruled. So Mesopotamia was politically divided between two foreign dynasties, the Mitanni to the north and the Kassites to the south, and Egypt emerged as the great dominant power. And when the Hittites achieved political unity again, at the middle of the 14th century BC, about 1360 BC, once again the Hittite kings were able to master the Anatolian plateau, they found a very changed world. There were great imperial powers in the Near East, powers with great professional armies based on chariot power, bureaucratic states, so that taking on these opponents would be quite difficult. Nonetheless, the Hittite kings were able to achieve the unexpected. They not only destroyed Mitanni, the northern contender in Mesopotamia, but eventually fielded armies that could fight the Egyptian empire to a standstill and take away the northern provinces of that Egyptian empire. And this is quite remarkable. Egypt was a far greater civilization than the Hittites in many ways. Its architectural monuments are certainly more impressive. And at the height of its power, the Hittite empire might have counted 2 million residents. The Egyptian pharaoh could well have had 5 or 6 million subjects. So that, you know, there's a real disproportion between these two states. Egypt was based on the great agricultural surpluses of the Nile. Nonetheless, three powerful monarchs made this Hittite empire possible. The first of them is a man named Supulilamus. Came to the throne about 1344 and died of a plague some 22 years later. He had the good fortune to rule at the time that Egypt, at the height of her political and military power, was plunged into a veritable civil war. According to the new dating, and Egyptian dates are disputed, but the new dating, the so-called low chronology that most scholars now accept, in 1352, a pharaoh by the name of Amenhotep IV came to the throne, and he changed his name to Echnaton. As he's well known in history, this is the great heretic pharaoh who proclaimed a solar monotheism, his god Aton as the sole god. He's been the subject, again, of Pulp Fiction and a lot of movies, most of them wrong and misunderstood. He's not the founder of Hebrew monotheism, but he was the founder of some type of monotheistic cult, with, of course, the pharaoh as the oracular voice of the sun god. It worked very nicely from Macnaghten's viewpoint. In any event, his long reign of 17 years plunged Egypt into a veritable civil war. And the great 18th dynasty, which had given Egypt her empire, was paralyzed as contending parties disputed what was proper Egyptian religious worship.